us.
Chairman.
Yes, Representative Osterman.
Does that mean you're reducing 100,000 in measures and standards and moving?
We're actually reducing more than that.
Okay, but?
But it offsets this increase, yes.
This is nothing that, I mean, this is something that, back to the same question Representative Mulder had, I mean, is this something that needs to be done? I mean, are utility inspectors and stuff like that, or FY99?
Right now, we're as we move along, we're starting to get closer to the spring season when we start doing more activity in this work. With people are trying to get their permits going for any type of work that's being done in the construction area. So we're pretty soon we're going to hit that point where it's where we project that we're going to have a demand that we're going to need these program receipts to deal with the amount of work that's going to be coming in.
So by June the 30th, you're anticipating being $100,000 short in that area then?
Yes, right. Subsection E and subsection F are both related to the Harborview Development Center. One is the appropriation level and the other is the allocation level. We are requesting $235,000 in general funds for the maintenance of the Harborview Development Center in Valdez. Last year, during the budget process, well, actually, it's been going on for longer than that, Health and Social Services maintained the Harborview Development Center, and over a matter of several years, they have been in the process of closing Harborview down. They've been moving their people out. They've been reducing their budget accordingly. When they developed and submitted their 99 budget, they eliminated all the monies that, the last of the monies that supported the Harborview Development Center. With the anticipation that something would happen to that facility, it would be handed over to the city or whatever. last session, Department of Corrections had a bill before you that provided or allowed them to use Harborview for an alcohol drug therapy facility. That bill did not pass. So what ended up happening is there was no money in either of their budget to deal with maintaining this facility. We were handed this facility on July 1st for us to maintain, and we had no money in our budget to do that either. So there was an agreement that was reached between the city and the state on the state continuing to maintain the facility through this year because it houses the city hospital. And so we cannot close that down because it would close down the hospital also. The agreement stated that the state would provide up to $265,000 to continue to maintain that facility, and that negotiations would continue to as to the transfer of the facility or whatever else would happen with that facility. We were asked to try and reduce that amount. We were able to reduce it down to $235,000 from the original $265,000. That money is being used basically for the maintenance worker, for risk management costs, for repair work, snow removal, maintenance supplies, all of those things that are necessary to keep that facility from deteriorating.
Nancy, is that it's a state-owned facility still then?
Yes, it is.
And the city of Valdez is still using it as their hospital?
A portion of it, that's correct.
And is the city of Valdez paying rent or anything on the building?
I believe when Health and Social Services was maintaining the facility, they did provide about 17% on the utilities and those types of things. They are not providing anything specifically right now except for anything over the $265,000 that was agreed upon. So it may be, I'm not sure what the dollar amount is because I don't know what the actual expenditures are going to end up being, but if the costs are higher than that, then they will kick in some additional assistance. But there's not any rent that we're charging them this year.
Is the agreement that's currently in place between the state and the city just till this coming June or July?
It's through the end of June, that's correct. We do not have anything in our FY00 budget to continue maintaining the facility.
Who is currently managing it? DOT, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay, that answers my question.
We didn't have any extra money to cover this, and if we don't get it, then we find that we can't absorb it, basically, with what we're doing.
Is there an ongoing contract? I mean, is there an ongoing relation or agreement with the city of Valdez?
The agreement that we have is just the one that lasts this year. And there is continuing to be some discussions between the state administration and the city on the facility, but I'm not sure how those are going.
It seemed to me that when they visited with in a couple weeks back, they left me with the opinion that there was a commitment that when Department of Hess was going to leave, that the state more or less made a commitment to maintain that facility. But that's news to you? Because it goes all the way back to the old days of when the state and the feds and the city went together to build this very inefficient system, which included Harborview and their hospital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now it's my albatross representing Grusendorf instead of yours.
Maybe the Exxon Valdez could buy it.
He's never got involved in corrections.
That's right.
Mr. Chairman, you know, at 235 plus, I assume, in just operational cost, the maintenance cost of the building, at some point in time, you'll just want to walk away from it as a state. If we're not using it, if we're not having it, anything that the state's going to use as far as...
There again, it goes back to the old, the outstanding agreement, Representative Osterman, which I was painfully made aware of, about when the federal government and the state went in to put in Harborview, the city was going to put in a hospital. And they said, well, let's put it in together to save costs. Well, they did not hire a very... efficient contract, or the contractor that was hired did not design a very efficient facility.
I've been there.
I've been there.
I heard you the first time.
And consequently, they are left with, as the Department of Hess is pulled out of there, they're left with the full O&M costs, which, do you remember, Representative Williams, how much are they subsidizing that a year, the city of Valdez? The operational costs above and beyond what they would consider normal cost to operate a hospital. I mean, it's a big number. It's between $500,000 and $1 million a year.
It's not their interest either. Shut her down, they can build another hospital and operate it cheaper.
Well, they have their history or recollection says there was some sort of a commitment.
Logic is getting in the way again.
Yeah. So anyway, this is one of those sticky ones that...
Yes.
DOT caught the fumbled football. Representative Williams?
I have this list.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 246,332.
Right. That was a projection that we made as to what we thought that the cost would be. We've said that we can bring that down to 235. Or we will bring it down to 235.
So you still have the travel in there?
There is some travel in there.
Where does this maintenance guy travel?
Actually, the travel is down to zero. If you look at the total projection number, it says zero for travel.
What does that $235,000 buy?
It brought a maintenance worker. It is the fuel costs for running the boiler. The electrical costs, it's the snow removal, any contract repair, phone, risk management, all of those things that are needed to just keep that facility going. Just so it doesn't deteriorate. That's the main thing, is it doesn't deteriorate any more than it is.
Are these actual numbers, Mr. Chairman?
The actuals are on that, in this column here it says actuals 218.99. That's the what we had recorded as actually being spent on that day, and the rest, the other column is the projections through the end of the year.
Part of their problem is they just can't turn the Harbor View side off without turning off the hospital side.
Right. It would, that's one of the options that we're looking at, is what is the cost to board up the part that's not being used and to shut it down? What would that impact be? And we're looking at several options to try and reduce our, you know, if the state should continue in the future and reach an agreement with the city to carry it on, how can we reduce our costs in that area? And that's part of it, is maybe there is a way to board it up. Right now that there's a major boiler system that supports the whole facility, it may be that we need to put in a smaller boiler just to support the hospital. So we have to look at all of those options.
As long as it doesn't cost as much as the Fairbanks.
Mr. Chairman, this falls under the category of a disaster. I think EVOS funds should be involved.
You know, you may have a point there. I'd rather have to buy a hospital than I would land.
There we go.
You know, there are a lot of sick birds that could have been flown in there. That's maybe not outside the realm of consideration.
I think it is, Mr. Chairman.
If we could just get it to float, we could have it qualified.
A floating hospital that could be a side, an oil sucking hospital.
Instead of a money sucking hospital.
We're
going to make money on the phone.
Oil-sucking hospital is what you said.
Oh.
Just call it Monica for short.
A lot of in-house stuff going on here.
Yeah. I think we've been here too long.
I think so. Well, we're doing our best to get through it. Okay, Nancy.
Subsection G. This is a reduction to measurement standards and commercial vehicle enforcement for excess general fund program receipt authority in the amount of $364,000. Last session, a bill was passed, HB 404, which gave measurement standards the ability to collect out-of-state commercial vehicle permits. We've been trying to find some way to issue permits to those people from out of state that come in and drive large trucks and wear down our roads. So there was the bill passed. It allowed for $525,000 in general fund program receipt authority for the department to use those funds then to turn around and build up the amount of coverage of our way stations, especially in Tok and other areas where we have large trucks coming through. What we found, though, is that a great number of the truckers that were coming in were registering their vehicles with the Division of Motor Vehicles instead of purchasing the permit from us. They found it was a better deal. What ended up happening is the amount that we were receiving in revenues was substantially less than what we had expected. So we have been able to, with the revenues that we have received, we have been able to beef up the Tok Way Station operations, and that's almost 24 hours operation now. But we do still have a large amount of empty general fund program receipt authority that can be reduced from it. And this is part of what would offset our other requests, our increases.
Representative Bundy?
Just on a far aside, the RV rentals, are they considered commercial vehicles?
RV rentals?
Land yachts.
Well, I don't I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're just talking about buses and large trucks.
Talking about tearing up our roads and not any smaller, many of them.
Commercial license.
These are commercial.
Yeah.
I understand.
But, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we need to make a change.
So, they're not covered.
The only downside about the subsections G, H, and I is that while they technically fall within that category of not increasing funds, they do exacerbate the gap, because the 235 for Harborview are real dollars, and the 364, 21, and 21 are both GFPR, correct?
They are, general fund program receipts. But if you're not receiving them, you're not spending for these, right? Subsection H and I are reductions to our highways and aviation budget, general fund program receipts that we will not be receiving. Those are specific to the Title 17 regulations that have not yet been promulgated. So we're not receiving the revenues associated with tie downs and those other items that those regulations could provide to us. So these are we hope to have those regulations completed next fiscal year, but for this fiscal year, this authority is available for reduction.
Representative Bundy?
Yeah. You collect tie-down fees, I know, from Anchorage International. Do you collect them? What other? Fairbanks, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Are there any other state-maintained airports that you collect tie-down fees?
I think we do in the rural, some of the rural airports, but I think that the Title 17 regs would increase that amount. I believe, but I'm not the authority on Title 17, and I don't think I want to be.
Okay. I know in the past, there's been unequal treatment. Some people tie down at some airports and don't pay the state a fee, and others
right.
are paying rather substantial fee.
Right, and I think that that's part of the Title 17 regs that they're trying to get in place, is to take care of some of the unevenness.
Representative Williams, did you have a question? I think those are all your sections, Nancy. One last question about your favorite issue, the Taylor Highway. Are you receiving a few phone calls as well?
Oh, not personally, no.
The department?
Yes, the department is. The commissioner has been dealing with several groups that are very interested in what's happening with the lack of opening those roads.
What's the status at this point in time?
It's my understanding that we're still planning not to plow them open, but there is some agreements with the mining community about opening up a portion of, believe, the Taylor Highway to allow for some transfer or bringing in some fuel that some of the miners need. So we're talking to them and trying to find out what we can do, what they can do to help the situation.
What would it cost to open the highway? Normally it's open like May 1st, is that right?
I believe so. Just the Taylor Highway, I believe, is $145,000.
Representative Bundy?
Mr. Chairman, on that point, I received historically a great deal of communication from Glen Allen, Tolk area, north and east, or south and east, however, whatever the direction is when you get up there. And they've stated very emphatically they don't receive any government services and do not wish to pay any taxes because of that. So I have a problem with the Taylor Highway.
Where is it?
if you can't float a ferry on it, it ain't a highway.
It's in the Cleveland Peninsula there.
Is there any questions, Representative Williams?
No.
Okay. Any other questions for Nancy?
For me. Tell them to send their calls on to me, forward them to me, we'll have a discussion. Okay.
Second thought, perhaps you shouldn't. University.
Only there we go.
Are they around?
I don't think there's university people here.
Well, I guess we don't need to deal with them.
They're working professor hours.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I got a question on that. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but on the University of Alaska, they have $7 million. Yeah. is $7 million, right?
Right.
$7 million in university receipts, okay, for the Arctic Research Center. And then they go down here, the Fairbanks campus reduction, federal fund, 3.5. Student tuition, 3.5 million. And is that actually moving that to research so that we're going to have some students saying that they're not getting the programs and things, that they're in a graduate course or trying to get their degree and they can't? I'm just wondering, is this supposed to balance out that way?
Well, that's the way I read it as well, but I'm not. Do we have any detailed backup on it, Denny?
Well, see, I'm afraid of the criticism that we're going to get from. Right. Here we're talking about research, that's fine, but what happens to the students that call us and say, well, you know, I'm in my senior year and they're only offering one course of or whatever it is, and especially if we're using student tuition money, $3.5 million, and using federal funds that might also be for some of these programs. So that kind of concerns me that way. I know that, you know, Alan, you have that. Budget, so.
And there is backup, but there's a list of. I've seen it. I don't have it with me.
I can read to you if you want, Mr. Chairman.
If you would, Denny.
My name is Denny DeWitt. I'm staff for the House Finance Committee. The university is requesting an additional $7 million of university receipt authority for the Fairbanks organized research. At the same time, the Fairbanks campus, we are requesting a decrease of $3.5 million tuition and fee authority and a decrease of $3.5 million in federal receipt authority for a net zero.
Yeah.
With the new Institute of Arctic Research now open, many opportunities for research have opened up. Requests for supplemental use of university receipt funding authority will allow us to receive and expend pass-through funding from applied physics labs for the university partnering or operational support project as well as lease payments. Other projects include Tuklik Lake facility upgrade and other projects in the pre-award phase. The following is a list of some of the projects we will be receiving. Enhanced fine scale, Arctic numerical weather prediction, improved methods of forecasting icing and turbulence for aircraft operation, improved modeling of surface fluxes of soil moisture within MM5, operational volcanic plume forecasting, improvement of characterization of biological and chemical toxic plume dispersion in high latitude boundary layer, simulated atmospheric course correction based on forecast of atmospheric path beam propagation simulator. Aging faxes are tough. Operational monitoring of dispersion and transport of smoke plumes, storm tracking with infrastructure equipment, receipt of lease payment and upgrade at the Tuke Lake facility. Projects are not anticipated when the FY99 budget request was formulated and were not budgeted. Without the supplementary authority in the proper category, we will not be able to receive and expend funds for the projects.
Mr. Chairman, so then they are claiming a net zero. And when you take $3.5 million from student tuition and you start looking at the programs for these people who are pursuing their degree, I don't know if I personally want that type of criticism, because you know darn well they're the ones that come down and beat on our door in behalf of the university for funding. And one of the criticisms we had is that we have most of our money for professors end up in research, and we have these experts up there, but they're not in the classroom, and the students don't get the benefit of these people in research. I mean, I'm for research, fine, give them the $7 million, but not from student tuition.
Well, it strikes me, I'm not certain, Representative Grusendorf, my guess is this is just, they are projecting $3.5 million less receipts from student, they've been telling me.
Why did they say net zero?
Well, just to be, well, Denny, you can put your interpretation on it, but go ahead.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I think the way they've gotten to a net zero is somewhat interesting, because they've taken from two unrelated accounts where they have not received
anticipated
receipts, and they have projects from another area, and they seem to be about the same number, so they've rolled in a net zero. The interesting part is that if I'm not mistaken, reading this and what I looked at quickly on the spreadsheet, they are all non-GF issues.
Right.
So exactly why they rolled this into a, tried to make it a net zero, I think is a mystery to all of us.
I think I have a pretty good idea. They don't want total GF or total spending for the university to be reflected at a higher level than what it is.
Well, we're the $7 million, it says, and I'm using this sheet here.
The $7 million is coming as grants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The $7 million in itself is a net zero.
Right, it doesn't get us. I mean, that's right. Well, the point here is that total funding, or total, I mean, and they get funding, the university gets funding in about seven different categories. And my guess is the reason they showed this is in the past, we have stated that while we have held GF flat, total spending for the university has gone up over time, and they're real touchy about that anymore.
Now, Mr. Chairman, but that begs the question then. If they claim that their student enrollment and that everything is going up and they're doing more things, that why did they underestimate, or why did they overestimate their authorization by $3.5 million?
They would tell you that we've now begun to price ourselves out of the market. I would say perhaps we're not offering the programs that they want.
Well, I'm going to back out of this, Mr. Chairman. It just was just the way it looked, and I didn't have the backup.
And I wasn't looking at it either, but I thought it looked equally curious to me. Representative Bundy?
Well, it's unfortunate that Ms. Redmond was in the halls earlier, that she's not here now, and Representative Davis, the representative from the university, isn't here.
That's why I can afford to give him help.
The ongoing mantra is research funds itself, that it is on soft money. And if indeed that's not the case, then we have some serious questions to ask. The way it's written, I strongly share your concerns that they're expecting tuition to support research, and that is not fair, nor is it politically astute to go in that direction. So maybe we just zero this out until they show up.
I don't really think that's, I mean...
I don't think that's
the case either. I think it's just... Yeah.
But you could assume it would be...
I'll assume it's the case until it's proven different.
It's not much different than DOT coming in here and saying it was taken.
Well, I can see that after Denny went further there and talked about it, I could see, but I didn't have that backup that they were using a federal grant. And when they used the term UA receipts, and then they were specific, it was tuition and other things, that, well...
Where
the receipts come from?
We just dealt with DOT, and they're taking $364,000 out of anticipated receipts as a negative, and then they're adding $235 to our review and $100 to...
DOT doesn't lie to me like the university does. So.
Well, we will. I appreciate...
$7 million versus $300,000.
I appreciate members staying here extra long to get through this. Well, we will. My anticipation for tomorrow is that we will not meet officially as a committee. We may meet we will meet tomorrow morning. I mean tomorrow afternoon, excuse me. But we probably will go meet in recess and come back Saturday morning to try and begin work on or try and...
Remember, 10 o'clock caucus.
Is it 10 o'clock caucus or 1?
Okay.
Oh, well, we may recess. I'll try and work out the scheduling. In terms of a CS.
Outdoor recreation.
Yes. to finalize it, and also trying to correspond with the other body in terms of which missile's going first, but to try and correlate or coordinate action to work on the CS. So we will meet at 1:30, but it will be for a very short time. With that, we are adjourned.